Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. We'll devote the first half of this post-Christmas hour to a popular guest observations of how this TV year, especially the sports side, went down. Queen's Chronicle columnist Lloyd Carroll joins me next. Now, is there something you'd like to see on television next year? Call or chat room in your ideas and react to mine next half hour. Also ahead, our final 2023 Classic Trivia results. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, it's the day after Christmas 2023, and tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. 48 degrees top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and on this day after Christmas 2023, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future, first of three final episodes of this year, all live and lively for you. Great to have you with us. Hope you had a wonderful Merry Christmas and Happy Kwanzaa, et cetera, weekend. We have a wonderful guest in store for you this hour, and we invite you to be part of the program in a big way. All you have to do is pick up the phone, dial in, and when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Another way you get involved is our chat room, and it is with us today. Simon Applebaum, or Simon Apple 04, is the chat room by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, you're interacting with us, and we like that. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your blog, so a radio speaker, tune screen. Follow the instructions. I'll be live with you. Before we get underway, I want to welcome two new podcast affiliates to our wonderful lineup. One is PodCal, that's P-O-D-C-A-L, and the other is Luio. I hope I get the pronunciation right. It's L-I-U-L-O, Luio. And I had a chance to see their site. It's really marvelous. So welcome aboard, all of you. They're catching us on either or both of those podcast sites. And one more big announcement. It is Corey Rubin's birthday today. Corey Rubin, by the way, is my sister Stephanie's son. So to Corey, Stephanie, and husband David, a very happy birthday to you, Corey. And I'm happy that you are aboard with us as your B-Day is being celebrated. Lloyd Carroll from the Queen's Chronicle will join us. We have first two news no quickies. HBO will revisit the Y2K Fear of 1989 or 1999. Remember that one? And that'll be on Saturday night. Documentary special Time Bomb Y2K examines the developments that provoke concern of a worldwide technology disaster. That's Time Bomb Y2K on HBO this Saturday night. And season 4 of Emily in Paris will begin next month, and we'll try to finish production in Paris before the Summer Olympics there. Netflix is expected to premiere these episodes around December 2024. That is news notes for today. Certainly, it would not be a tomorrow be televised calendar year without this guest popping in a time or two. It's a pleasure to welcome back to this program the wonderful columnist of the Queen's Chronicle, Lloyd Carroll. Hi, Lloyd.
Thank you, Simon, and mazel tov to your nephew, Corey, on his birthday. So great to be here with you to wrap up the end of the year.
And what's your big takeaway of this year in television, Lloyd?
You know, it's funny, we're chatting about this. To me, the changing of the guard, the end of an era, in two different ways on premium cable. And really, that's an interesting topic in its own right. Both HBO and Showtime, both sports were keys to their growth. People kind of forget this. You know, everybody always thinks of the movies as a key, but in fact, live programming, sports was very important, particularly the world of boxing and documentaries. I should say that was their real bread and butter. And it's, I guess, with the growth of streaming, cord cutting, you're probably more in tune about this than even I am. It seems like both are, well, certainly Showtime announced in September, I believe Paramount announced that Showtime Sports would be ending in totality. HBO Sports, for what it's worth, it doesn't do very much anymore. They were out of boxing years ago. And now Real Sports with Brian Gumbel just ended its run. And so who knows what really remains with HBO Sports. The Bomani Jones Show, which I really enjoyed, had two seasons, not coming back. Bob Costas has told me that it's a matter of the accountants pinching pennies here, that even though I don't think of those as very expensive shows to produce, the way things are going at Warner Media these days, you can understand every penny gets watched. So this is kind of, to me, a change of the guard, kind of troubling, and it's really to be seen whether streaming is the answer to all this. You know, so that's my takeaway is in terms of the big stories.
You know, staying on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel for a moment, I also think that this may be the end of sports journalism. We've come to know it with no more Outside the Lines, with E60 sort of on a haphazard schedule, and then you have what really was, I think, the premier sports journalism hour in Real Sports for 29 seasons with Brian Gumbel, over 1,000 segments, really special crew of people doing those segments, like Mary Carillo and Andrea Kramer and Bernard Goldberg and the late Frank DeFore and so many more. You wonder, can we see sports journalism on television?
It's highly doubtful, Simon. And I trace this, and not to get too off topic here, but again, looking at trends, sports reflects society. And one of the societal trends is what we've seen in how news is presented on television. I mean, the three broadcast networks, I think, try to do a pretty good job of calling it as they see it, calling balls and strikes as presenting the facts. But it seems like the news that creates the buzz in this world of social media is news that's slanted, whether it be to the left with MSNBC, to the right with Fox, OAN, Newsmax, that it just doesn't seem to be an appetite, just like there isn't for centrist politics. It seems like the fringes grab up all the oxygen in the room. I think it's going that way with sports journalism. It's really sad, not to toot my horn too much here, but one of the things I do when I write a column is to treat the reader's intelligence with respect, not point out the obvious, try to point out both sides, what each party might be thinking if there's a dispute, and you're not really getting that anymore. It just seems it's a very troubling trend in the industry, let alone talking about sports journalism. Dick Schaap must be rolling over in his grave.
Yeah. Wish we could have the sports reporters back. That's something I'd like to see. By the way, we'll have that for you in our second half hour, and we want to invite you out there to contribute by phone call or chat room. At the same time, Larry, we are seeing more sports than ever before on television. We're having more of these single sports networks that are popping up. We have new pro leagues that are happening. For example, next month we're going to have a pro volleyball league, women's volleyball league, take shape. I believe it's going to be on CBS Sports Network with 10 regular season games and then championship, and so forth. But I have to say, I think one of the things that really was very big on sports, we have seen a lot of great play-by-play on sports this year. I thought March Madness was covered very well. Andrew Catalan on the Fairleigh Dickinson game with his wonderful final saying, F do you believe. Kevin Harlan, who I thought was amazing on the Furman, Virginia, upset. What he did, we just saw. We're seeing like great play-by-play, whether it is Kevin Harlan, Ian Eagle, new voices like Mike Monaco, Bob Wischusen, wonderful analysts like Robert Griffin III. It seems to be a golden age in terms of, particularly with football, college and pro, wonderful play-by-play and analysis.
Oh, I hardly agree in that. We could throw Ryan Rucco in there as well, who's done some very good work with the YES Network locally here and with ESPN. He's kind of the voice of the WNBA. So I would put him in there. And I'm glad to see the growth of women's sports. I think this could be something that could save cable television. We'll see if the Professional Women's Hockey League gets a deal. But as you mentioned, CBS Sports Network and the Professional Women's Volleyball, this is great, and I know the CBS Sports was also doing work with the WNBA when they seem to have fallen out of favor. Now they're stronger than ever, so it'll be interesting to see whether the professional version of Title IX saves the college, cable television sports industry. I certainly hope so.
Lloyd Carroll, the columnist of the Queen's Chronicle. You can catch his work both in print and online. He is our guest today on Tomorrow Be Televised. He's coming right here from New York, like yours truly. Simon, I'll be with you along for the ride. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we are doing this week to wrap up 2023. Tomorrow, as promised last week, we didn't get, but we will this week. Tomorrow, we will have as our lead guest the executive producer and showrunner of the second season of Dr. Death, Austin Race on Peacock, Ashley Michael Hoban, will be with us. Also, we will have our annual tribute to the people who passed away in front of behind the camera this year, Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers. And we'll also be on Friday as well. That's all 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Lloyd, staying with women's sports for a second, we are also seeing more and more women's sportscasters take their roles, not just on women's sports, but men's sports. So Beth Mowen, for example, on the NBA games now. I believe she was on one of the Christmas Day shows yesterday. You got Courtney Lyle, who did a bowl game and did college football on a regular basis. Jen Hildreth on soccer and basketball. And we're seeing more and more women doing men's basketball as well. People like Monica McNutt, Latina Robinson, so on and so forth, both in the play-by-play and in the endorsed work, in the play-by-play as well as in the color commentator role.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Monica McNutt, and who, besides obviously being on ESPN, locally she does a lot of work with the Knicks here on the MSG network, and Sarah Kustak does the analyst work with along with Ian Eagle on the YES Network for Brooklyn Nets games. This is a trend which I think is going to be staying with us. And what's interesting about those two and others you're mentioning is in a polarized world where, you know, people will say, oh, that's done to be politically correct by the networks, you're not really hearing that. These are talented professionals. And I think the fact that they got their starts doing it on the local level and then move up to the national ranks brings an acceptance that, you know, even your chauvinistic male sports fans go, hey, that's my broadcaster. So I think that, you know, this is a trend that is welcoming and, frankly, deserved.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about someone who's well-deserved, how about Ian's son, Noah Eagle, who has really broken loose this year? I mean, we heard him the last couple of years on the Nickelodeon simulcast games on CBS, including yesterday's wonderful Nickmas game, the second year in a row. He and Nate Burleson, I think, make a fantastic team. But now he is also joining Ian as play-by-play on the Brooklyn Nets games. He has done Los Angeles Clipper games on radio. He is now doing Big Ten Saturday night. He did one of the games this Christmas weekend on NBC. His star is rising.
No question. It's funny. I think I think of him as the younger Kenny Albert, not only because, obviously, the genetics, the heritage, and I don't want to call him a Nepo baby. That's really not fair. He's certainly the name helps, but he is, as you point out, a very talented guy. And like Kenny Albert, who has, I don't know if you've read his book, Simon, A Mike for All Seasons, but if you haven't, I highly recommend it. Kenny, you know, works across all sports and all networks, and apparently, I wasn't sure that Noah was going to be doing the work for Viacom because of his commitments to Comcast with Notre Dame and Big Ten football. So I'm glad to see that he's going to be like Kenny Albert. Basically, you never know where you're going to find him, but it's always welcoming to hear him. Definitely one of the future voices of the industry.
I agree, and I think the thing that with both him and I and his father is that they both are very literate. They have great vocabulary. They don't just do like the same old when somebody scores a touchdown or somebody gets a major play or somebody scores a basket. They're very, listening to them and how literate they are and fun they are is really, really sensational.
You know, it's funny. The great ones can do that. Ian Eagle, who I know because he's a Queens guy and reads, you call him a column reader, always had a great sense of both humor and a sense of pop culture, which I think all broadcasters have to do. If you watch the New York Mets telecasts here, even if you're not a Mets fan, you have to kind of appreciate Gary, Keith, and Ron because of, as you point out, all the pop culture references and whatnot that you're going to get during a broadcast. It's not just straight up what's going on the field. So I think that's a real tribute to both Ian and his son that they can do it. I think it makes the broadcast more interesting, and it brings in something that I think gets forgotten about in the world of sports. and maybe the world in general, the marginal consumer, somebody who's not the diehard fan, someone who you want to hook in, who's looking forward to it, not because necessarily they have a favorite team or they love the sport, but, hey, you know what, I have somewhat of an interest, but I like those people who bring me that information, like friends and family. And I think that is something that kind of gets overlooked in this industry.
Before we move on to general TV, who would you sure. say is sort of a unknown talent in terms of play-by-player color commentary on television, and who you think is like a fast rising star, like destined for stardom in 2024?
You know, it's funny. This name won't mean very much to most people, but a guy, he's done some work with the New York Yankees. His name is Emmanuel Barbari. He's done some cable work. He's done a lot of the Hudson Valley Renegades, you know, some of that low-level minor league stuff, Siena College. But he's worked also here locally with WFAN. If you're asking me, he went to Fordham, so out of that Vin Scully, Mike Breen, or some of their more famous alum, Michael Kay, I would say that's someone you can keep an eye on. Emmanuel Barbari is someone I would put on my, maybe not next year or two, but someone, if we're hopefully still doing this maybe a decade from now, I feel pretty – I'd bet on that. If he were a stock, I'd call my broker up and invest in him.
I would say the most underrated voice, I believe, is Bob Asusan. His work on ESPN college football and hockey now, NHL hockey, is terrific. I think he and Robert Griffin III make a fantastic team. I think, you know, he's going to be a rising star. And, of course, people know him here locally from the New York Jet radio games.
And MSG work, yeah.
And I would say destined for stardom. Two more people on ESPN, both did very well with college football, Mike Monaco and John Schifrin. John also did the XFL games. And I love his beginning. Like, what's up, everybody? I'm John, you know, blank, blank, I'm John. But I love John. I love Mike. I think they're marvelous voices. I think they're destined for stardom. Like
by the way,
I'm
glad you mentioned the XFL and USFL. That's a story that has not gotten a lot of play, and I'm glad you did bring it up. There's been a merger of the two leagues, and nobody seems to know what's going to be happening. NBC, which broadcasts USFL games along with Fox, said, I just saw Mark Lazarus, who said, yeah, they're dropping it because they have commitments apparently with golf tournaments and motorsports. Even though I don't think of NBC Sports having necessarily the biggest portfolio, apparently it just doesn't work in their calendar. And that's a shame. I have to say, I like spring pro football. It's not the National Football League. But I remember going, was the last sporting event I went to before the pandemic. It was February 29th. There was a leap year game, and the New York Gladiators were playing at Giants at MetLife Stadium. And it was – they had Luis Garcia, a very good quarterback. You know what? The place kicker, I forgot his name, he was better than anybody the Jets or Giants had that year. And Garcia was probably a better quarterback than either team had. So the Jets or Giants had. And I was really impressed. You had 20,000 people at the lower bowl. It was great Saturday afternoon entertainment. And the broadcasts of games that I saw were very interesting. They had some rules where you couldn't kick an extra point if you wanted to get a conversion. Mm-hmm. I think it was 1 point from the 2-yard line, 3 points from the 5-yard line. If you wanted to do 10 yards or more, it was like a 5-point play. It was really, or actually a 3-point play. So I thought it was very interesting what they were trying to do. And I really believe it. The athletes, while they're not NFL-sized, they were pretty good players. I mean, if you're just looking for good receivers, exciting play, kickbacks, kickoff returns, this was a good league to watch. My biggest knock on the XFL at USFL was that they had teams like the New York Generals that didn't play in New York. I mean, they used the name. I forgot who the Philadelphia franchise was. Maybe it was the Blazers. Anyway, they weren't playing in Philadelphia. So it's hard to get buy-in nationally. I mean, it's like you can call yourself New York Pizza and be in Tucson, Arizona, but it's not going to get the buy-in. And I think that was one of the bigger mistakes that those leagues made.
Mm-hmm. Lloyd Carroll, the Queens Chronicle columnist, he is our guest this half hour on MRB Televised. And of all, we're going to ask his thoughts about the Olympics and Peacock and the fact that we have now more sports on what I call the mega contents than before. And we'll also ask him about his thoughts about NBC's final original show of the year, which he had a chance to see this Saturday night, Extended Family. So we'll get to that all in a bit. Tommy, I'm on with you live from wherever you are. Thanks for joining us on this first of three final 2023 episodes of the Promo About TV's Current and Future Tomorrow Be Televised. And we thank you all for tuning in. And if you have a question or comment on our many minutes with Lloyd, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You can catch me in person tomorrow on Sports Newswire. That is the daily sports information show, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Craig and the crew will be with you, and I'll be doing a top five TV sports development of 2024. You might be surprised at some of them. So tune in. Sports Newswire, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, Amazon Freebie, and other multi-channel bundles. Lloyd, we've got the Olympics next year in Paris. What do you think NBC needs to do to make it work?
Well, like everything else, when you have an Olympics and you have a five-hour time difference between the, between where they're taking place and obviously where we are here in New York at 8 hours, if you look at Los Angeles, that's always the thorny issue. What do you put on tape delay versus what are you going to put live? I would say that if I were NBC, I'd be leaning on the sports like basketball to be presented in prime time in, here in the East Coast of the United States. That's something I would absolutely insist. You can put synchronized swimming on tape delay or throw it on CNBC, whatever. But, you know, your flagship broadcast network, you need to have the big guys there. You know, Team USA, basketball, perhaps track and field if we're able to, you know, create some big names. Think of those are the kind of your big summer sports. There you have it. I will be interesting. I'm not as – I keep hearing rumors that, like, baseball is supposed to take place. I'm not sure it's 2024, 2028. So I would have to see the list. But we know basketball, that is that is a big driver of ratings. So that's one that I'd want. You want to make sure that also that everything's available. You mentioned Peacock. On demand, so if you miss an event, you can go right to it and say, hey, I want to watch this again. That's, you know, if you're paying for that streaming service, so we'll talk about Peacock at the NFL in a moment, that is something that if you're a subscriber, you should be able to get whatever you want on demand and without waiting too long for it either.
Yeah. Well, I'll say a couple things. First of all, I think that this is a very important one for NBC and NBC Universal as a whole. I think the Peacock has to become the way you watch the Olympics, that you watch it live, you watch it taped, you watch it interactively. This has to be the year it has to happen. Number two, I think NBC is basically going to be a three-hour highlight package. And number three, you got to publicize this. You have to promote this. You have to market this. That means doing events in Rockefeller Center, having to do press conferences both before, during, and after the Olympics, be upfront about the rate, about the viewership on all the services. If you're going to have them on USA Network and CNBC, you got to promote when the events are on those networks because that's what didn't happen the last couple of times. And finally, Telemundo has got to be more of a role. Got to play more of a role player. And you got to promote that coverage too because I think this could be a very big one for Telemundo to run live as well and be part of Peacock.
You know, it's funny you should mention the press conferences. I realize this might be like inside baseball for a lot of our listeners, but there is nothing, as a journalist, there is nothing like old school, as you say, Rockefeller Center, going to 30 Rock, being able to chat with the executives, the talent, maybe some of the athletes will be there. I think one of the great disservices that have happened, maybe would happen anyway without the pandemic, is the Zoomification of America, that I've seen too many press conferences via Zoom. I will not take part in them unless it's – that's a general rule. There might be an exception here and there, but for the most part, you're not able to speak freely, a little off the record. It's a big difference when you're able to talk to people in a personal one-on-one setting than through your computer and waiting for someone to say, you know, unmute yourself. I think this is – so it's ruining this country. Beyond just you know, the media industry and our needs as journalists, I am hoping that the Zoom trend, there's a place for it, but it shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, Simon.
I totally agree. I think that as far as the coverage goes, Molly Solomon and her crew do a fantastic job. And in the last couple of times in 2021, 2022, they did it with some incredible circumstances, the pandemic, doing it in Japan and then China. the Chinese, and so on and so forth. I totally get that. So I think in terms of the production-wise and everything else, it's going to be fantastic. Where NBC has gone downhill has been marketing and promoting and publicizing games. And it's not all their fault, you know, Lloyd. Part of it is the sports media does not give a damn about the Olympics. You don't see ESPN Sports Center doing highlights. You don't see the big thing on sports talk radio. It's basically the top, the bottom of the totem pole, and that has to change. And that has to change. And we also need to see more coverage of the trials of the U.S. team, and also because we don't know who the players are. Maybe
exactly
you get some
right.
bios, and that's it. You don't know who the players are, and I think we have to change that. We've got to change this whole mindset of how the Olympics is covered, not just on it with NBC and NBC Universal, but also sports media as a whole, because it has really become a passing fancy. And that's
You know, it's funny.
Because the Olympics, if it's done right, can be really, really sensational. I'm part of the IOC and how they've held the Olympics going from every 4 years to every 2 years with the games. I think that was a major mistake. Also, having events on before the opening ceremonies. Like, why have an opening ceremonies if you have events on before? It's just really crazy.
That throws people off. You're 100% right. In some ways, what you're telling me, Simon, is that the Olympics have become kind of a glorified version of the New York City Marathon. Now, why do I say that? Is because we're here in New York. The New York City Marathon, very big for New York City tourism, for our economy, extremely big. It's a great race. Some of the world's best athletes take part in it, yet you will hear a pin drop on sports talk radio or even in the local media for any of the runners, except maybe on race day. That's the only time you might even see a feature. It's unacceptable, and certainly it's the same. What you're telling me, the Olympics are just a bigger version of that, and that shouldn't – NBC, Comcast need to do a better job. You're 100% right. We should be working on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's talk Peacock for a second, because Peacock, along with the other mega content services, have now become big ways you watch television. In some cases, you watch things exclusively. And now we're seeing Peacock, ESPN Plus now get regular season and postseason NFL games, for example, exclusively. And we're going to see more of that with the NBA and so forth. And, of course, Peacock this weekend did have a regular season NBA game exclusively. And I understand it really provoked a furor.
Yeah, the NFL game, that was between the L.A. Chargers and the Buffalo Bills in Los Angeles. It was kind of strange the way it was built up. To be fair, in some ways, I got to give NBC credit. They started they had their telecast actually give the open. If you watched NBC, you saw Huntley, the winner of the NBC's The Voice, sing the national anthem. And just before the kickoff, Mike Tirico said, "Okay, now you're going to have to go to Peacock and watch it, or you can stick around and we'll talk about extended family and watch that on NBC Linear." I thought that I got to give Chris Collinsworth a lot of credit. He's one of my favorite broadcasters. He was recently inducted in the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame that's run by the Sports Video Group. And what made Collinsworth to me great, talk about quick wit and a guy who gets it, and he understood that Peacock – is, you know, as you mentioned, is certainly light years behind in terms of subscribers when you compare it to Amazon, Netflix, Disney Plus, even probably Paramount Plus at this point, and I assume even Max. He said, you know, with all the he was talking about the fact that both the Chargers and the Bills were in the hunt for the playoff spot. He showed the standings and how there were like 10 other teams that were right with them. And he said to Tirico very humorously, you know, Peacock's going to pick up a lot of subscribers tonight just on the play, on the personnel on these teams that want to watch this game. I thought that was very clever, and it kind of hit home. It was a little bit of a subtle dig, but certainly showed that Peacock's it's not a household name yet. I mean, I understand what Comcast is trying to do, but you've got to be judicious in how you're going to do things. I'm not so sure the Saturday of Christmas weekend was the ideal time, but who knows? You know, it's not me saying. What are your thoughts on that game?
I thought the game was terrific. I thought it was great that Peacock had the fourth quarter commercial free. I disagree. I think that they should not have done the first few minutes on NBC. I think they should have, at the end of the previous game, that's when they should have done the, if you want to watch the Ghost Chargers, turn over to Peacock. I think it confused a lot of viewers.
I think it did, too. And I do want to talk about the advertising gimmick. And you know what? I thought that was a great idea. But then I thought about it. I said, you know what? If you're paying a subscription fee to watch this, Now, you could say, well, we do this on cable, too, as opposed to most games that we watch. Streaming's, to me, it's a different relationship than paying your cable company. It seems like it's a more direct relationship. So, you know, and I know Amazon, or I should say Prime Video, has the Thursday Night Package, which I don't even watch more times than not. I hardly watch that. It just seems like there should be fewer commercials. If you're paying directly to the company, you should be able to have a say. And you know what? I'm not being subsidized by these guys. That's just my take on it for what it's worth. I think there should, not saying no commercials, but there should be fewer to make it an experience so you could say, yeah, I'm paying for it, but here's what I'm getting in return. I think in some ways Comcast was taking a nice shot at Jeff Bezos and Amazon for what they did.
Hey, Lloyd, could you stay for a few more minutes?
Sure.
Great, because I want to get your take on Extended Family, which did show up on that Saturday night, and a little more, too. So Lloyd's going to stay with us following the bottom of the hour, and we'll get to that first. But first, we have a word from the fine folks at Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Then give Wild a try. In case you don't know, Wild deodorant has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. I use it regularly. It's wonderful. It comes in a variety of great scent and color combinations like jasmine and mandarin blossom or fresh cotton and sea salt. No harsh chemicals to fret about. If you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door. Plus, they have a wonderful case that you put the refills in one after the other. It's just marvelous. So I have an invitation for you. Go Wild today with a special discount, 25% off your first order when you use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. So go to wearewild.com. It's wearewild.com and use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. Wild, it is the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. More with Lloyd, plus our finale of our classic trivia segment for 2023, and our special extended Something I'd Like to See segment. I want to get some thoughts from you. So give us a call, give us a chat room, because we'll be hearing from you after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love fantasy football, check out the Fantasy Football Mastermind Special tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, exclusively here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best VTR always comes your way 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. This half hour is brought to you by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. Simon, I'm out with you. Back with us also, Lloyd, wonderful Carol, the columnist of Queen's Chronicle. You can catch him on paper or online. And Lloyd, you did have a chance to see NBC's final new original series. Been waiting for all year long, and that's Extended Family. What'd you think?
You know, I like the actors. I like, certainly, you have Donald Faison and anything John Cryer's in. You know, if I go back with the fabulous Teddy Z, I don't really think so as Two and a Half Men, but he's always a welcoming figure in my living room. And Abigail Spencer, a very good cast. I thought, you know, the premise, maybe a little too cutesy. And I couldn't tell if they were... apparently it's about a divorced couple that recently got divorced and get along. There's none of the usual, there'll be some bickering, but it's not, it seems like they actually do want to be friends. It apparently, Cryer's character, Jim, it's kind of a throwback a little bit to his Two and a Half Men, kind of more the not quite the Schlemiel that his Allen character was on Two and a Half Men, but certainly a guy who comes up on the short end of the stick compared to his successful wife, who's now engaged to Donald Faison, who's the, I think, the fictional Boston Celtics owner on the show. It's supposed to be set in Boston. Michael Malley, a Bostonian, is a pretty good comic, is, I think, the producer behind it. And he's got Lenny Clark, you know, another Bostonian, good buddy of his, playing the role of Cryer's father in the show. So if you're going for the acting, it's actually fun. I wonder, though, Simon, how far they can go. The opening script of what to do when the daughter's goldfish dies, that kind of hit me as almost like a 1950s kind of a sitcom plot angle. I didn't quite go for that. I wonder how much mileage they can get from the premise. That was my concern. I'm curious to get your thoughts on it.
Well, I did not see the premiere because I was watching other stuff. There were also college bowl games, other things too. However, you know, with a cast including people like John Cryer, it's got a shot. The question is the one joke show or one plot show? And I think that's going to be the the key. Incidentally, coming up this half hour, we will have the answer to our final classic trivia question of 2023. Plus, we'll have an extended segment of something I'd like to see. I'm going to give you a nice list of things I would like to see happen on television this coming year. And we want to hear from you, too. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So, Lloyd, before we leave you, what are your hopes? What will you like to see on television next year?
You know, Simon, I like to see the return of good satire. That it seems, I know that there's a lot of jokes about satire, and that's only it closes after one airing. But, you know, I miss the days of Sledgehammer, Rocky and Bullwinkle. You know, we kind of the in-joke where I don't mean to stop it. You had to feel you felt intelligent watching it. The Simpsons, you know, is kind of like that, but you're not getting enough of that. And I wish we could have more that type of smart comedy, a little bit of a wink at the eye at the audience. That's what I'd like to see. From an industry, Brad, I know you get a lot of people who are in the industry that listen to this podcast. Here's my pet peeve next to Zoom. Is if you're going to send screeners to people, because there's a lot of material out there, I know you have to watch a lot of stuff, don't make it like you're going for the gold, guarding the gold in Fort Knox. I mean, some of these triple verifications, it's impossible to open and watch it. It's a screener. We're not going to be giving it away to the North Koreans. Please make it easy for us. If you make it harder, I'm not going to be able to watch it. So that's my pet peeve.
I'll tell you one big thing. Yeah, one big thing, Laurie, I'd love to see is more of these new networks that have come to light on smart TV sets and smart device and multi-channel bundles. Talk to the press. Talk to the public. Do
absolutely
here
Simon.
In New York and Los Angeles, Chicago, and elsewhere. I think more of that, as you mentioned earlier, I think more of that rather than do Zooming is really good. For example, one of the interesting success stories this year was Women's Sports Network, the first 24/7 women's sports television service. I would love to see them get involved to talk to the press this year during what we call upfront new front season over the next or the first 4 or 5 months of 2024. And I'll give you a couple with sports I would like to see just to kick off our something I'd like to see half hour. First of all, it's time that TV sports commentators stop using the term true freshman. I mean, Lloyd, whenever you hear a sports play-by-play person say true freshman, does it make you think, what's a false freshman?
You know, I guess in these days, the only thing I can guess is that sometimes somebody gets redshirted. In other words, they're in high school, maybe they get injured, or they have too many players in that position. So they come up with an excuse. He's really a sophomore, and now but it's his first year playing football for the team, and with all the crazy rules of eligibility, that's the only thing I can think of, Simon. So we see it where people are spending a fifth year in college. Good case in point, Chris Ledlam, who is who's a point guard now for the St. John's Red Storm, he graduated from Harvard. But he had an extra year eligibility, and he figured, I go to grad school, maybe an NBA scout. I'm not good enough for the NBA right now, but, you know, perhaps if they see my skills, I'm an older player, that they'll pay more attention. That's the only thing I can guess. It's not my bailiwick. But I understand your point. If you're going to use that term, explain what it means.
Right. That's it. Absolutely. And here's something else. Two more. Actually, three more with sports.
Sure.
One, be accurate about what time of day it is. Why on an afternoon game are you saying tonight? Or you say this afternoon, and then later you say tonight, and it hasn't hit 6 o'clock yet on the East Coast. I mean, that comes off as ridiculous. And it's like wonders, you know, where is the head of the play-by-play or the commentator about that? Two other things. I'd like to see more audience interaction with the program, with the sports programming. I think that would make it better. It would draw more viewers. It would get them more involved. And also, it's time to have, let's say, the CBS Sports Spectacular, ABC's Wide World of Sports, NBC Sports World, to bring that back. I think it's time for them to bring it, somebody to bring it back. And I'm happy that ESPN is now going to make a TV network out of the ESPN Ocho, you know, where they have the very unique sports like World Chase Tag and, you know, an Axe and so forth. They're going to make that a full-time 24/7 channel this coming year, and I think that's great. So that sort of helps to bring the anthology feel back into sports TV.
You know, I've got to ask you, Simon, because you know IAB and New Fronts better than I do. Like when you put
Interactive
on...
Interactive ad bureau for our listeners. Go ahead.
With, like, for example, a lot of us, we put on the Roku and we see these various networks that we're not familiar with based on our, for old school cable people like myself. Do they take part in, you know, in these new fronts, you know, like Weather Nation, not to be confused with the Weather Channel? I'm just thinking it's something that you only see when you're going through the guide on Roku. I was just curious if they have made a presence. Well, if not, they really should, because, you know, out of sight, out of mind. I'm just curious if they have made some appearances.
No, and they should. And they should. I mean, they've come on up. We've had some of their programming. For example, they had this wonderful miniseries called The Holiday Shift, but I think it's become a regular TV series. We have the creator of that program on. I would love to see them have some of their more producers of some of their interesting shows come on the program. But, yes,
Real America's Voice.
It's always one of the better ones, and I'd love to see them do more beyond that. You know,
and even the political ones, even the ones whose ideology I don't agree with, I think would
technology
be fun.
Showcases.
Yep.
Maybe in other things, maybe have screenings of their show, of their original shows, maybe scripted shows on. I know they're gonna have Spiderwick Chronicles this year, which they got from Disney Plus. So maybe they can do a special on that. Maybe do something with. And I also think they the other smart TV set makers should be doing more stuff with the Paley Center here in New York and Los Angeles.
I agree. That's a very underutilized resource here. They have good people working there. I'm thinking, you know, we talk about 2024 being a big year for the Olympics, but obviously it's a big year for politics. I would love to see, like, these real America's Voice people, I mean, even if both the right and the left, come in there and introduce themselves to us. I mean, there's going to be public interest in that stuff this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. News Nation is doing Nexstar, the company behind them,
sure,
is doing a series of events on media and sports and politics and so forth. They did one last year. Last fall, which I was at, they did a Media Village story on it. You can catch it at MediaVillage.com or MediaVillage.org, and they will be doing more. And I think that's a really good idea.
Nexstar is really one of the big success stories of 2023, in my opinion. You know, nobody heard them a year ago.
They've really done some great work. Yeah, absolutely. And now thanks to them, CW is a major, major sports player on the weekends too. If you want to catch Lloyd Carroll's wonderful work, here's where you go. It's the Queen's Chronicle, and you want to catch him online? Here's where you go, queenschronicle.com. It's queenschronicle.com. I know when you read his columns, you will get be very illuminated, and you'll have a lot of fun too. Lloyd, it is always a pleasure to have you on this program. You have a standing invite, coming back anytime you like. Have a wonderful rest of your 2023 and a superb 2024 ahead. It's always great to have you.
My pleasure, Simon. It seems like time goes very quickly when I'm on the phone with you, so thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Look forward to doing it again.
Same here, Lloyd. Take care. All the greatest.
Thanks, Simon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Lloyd Carroll, columnist of the Queen's Chronicle, joining me here in New York. Time now for our final classic trivia segment of 2023. And, oh, boy, I really, really wish we could have had a winner. And, unfortunately, we did not with our final question, which we offered the last 2 weeks. So our six prizes will remain in play going into 2024. And here was the question. What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? They were both for NBC. No, Peyton Place was not the first. It was Empire. It was this story about a big ranch and the people who run it. And Ryan O'Neill actually made his TV and actually really his entertainment debut in that series, which ran from 1962 to 1963. Screen Gems production starring Richard Egan as the big person of the ranch. Empire, by the way, later became a half-hour series called Redigo, which only lasted half a season on NBC in 1963. So that was the first TV series Ryan O'Neill was involved with. The final one was Mismatch back in 2003. Also ran half the year, despite good reviews, on NBC. So our final classic trivia answer of the year, Empire and Mismatch, was Ryan O'Neill's first or last and last television series as star or co-star. I want to take a moment to congratulate everybody who won the classic trivia question this year. Thank all of you. And we'll have those six prizes on our first classic trivia question of 2024 a week from today. That's a week from today. So hear the question next Tuesday, January 2nd. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First, with the answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of Tuesday, we'll post the question Wednesday morning on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, there's only one way you do it. You got to play in. Do so starting next Tuesday. And all the very best. Okay? Okay. Got a message from BlendJet and then our special extended Something I'd Like to See. And now, here's that BlendJet message from BlendJet. Now, if your blender right now is bulky, it's an absolute pain to operate, well, I got news for you. Give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks an easy, wonderful pleasure any time of the year. You know, BlendJet is so portable to work up a smoothie at the office or your favorite protein booster at the local gym or a poolside margarita anytime. It's quiet to operate. It's rechargeable on the go. So what are you waiting for? Go to BlendJet.com, grab yours today, and be sure to use the promo code TELEVISED to get 12% off your order. Plus, you get free two-day shipping. And for a limited time, the special price, low price, below usual cost that BlendJet's been offering the last couple of weeks, it's still around post-Christmas and not for long. So go to BlendJet.com, grab yours today, use the promo code TELEVISED, you get 12% off your order, free two-day shipping, and that 12% is off the current low, low, low price. Remember, you can blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. Since earlier this year, we've been offering a brand new feature on this program called Something I'd Like to See, where yours truly does a little riff about a situation that this person would like to see better in the year, the month and years ahead. So we thought we'd do something in the rest remaining of the show that we would deal with something I'd like to see for 2024. And I'd like to hear from you. So jump in anytime you like as I give you my list. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So here's my list of something I'd like to see for television next year. First, CES 2024, let's really have smart TV coverage. Smart TV sets devise what they're doing, new apps, new services, new networks being covered. Let's have the tech press really cover smart TV sets and devices. I'm talking about the websites like CNET News.com and Gadget TechCrunch, but also CNBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Fox Business, Bloomberg, Cheddar News, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to all the smart TV set and device people, when you make announcements, really make the announcements. If you're going to say blank, we're doing a blank project with this blank company, have the blank company executive on the stage with you and demonstrate the product so that the press that's out there can cover it. We've seen too many times the last 2 years where Samsung or LG or other smart TV set makers and device makers will make announcements. They don't have the demonstration of it at that presentation, which is being worldwide, or a press release afterwards. So let's cut that out, shall we? Okay? Okay. Now, how about game shows? Got a couple things. First, it's time to bring back the consolation prizes. You know, like we used to have way back when, but not like the Eskimo Pie for a year or Turtle Wax for a year. How about a free Uber card for a year or free DoorDash or Grubhub service for a year? Let's stop this idea, particularly with primetime game shows, of contestants who lose going home with nothing. And then all they have is the announcer saying, but did you have a good time? The optics are bad. Something else. I'd like to see one of my favorite game shows from England called Tipping Point being adapted in the U.S. I know it's a very unique game show. I know it involves a machine that you have to really maintain and preserve. But I think Tipping Point, if that comes to the United States, I think it would be, in the right hands, a really big hit. Going back to what I said a little bit with Lloyd in the last half hour, it's time for more in-person events involving new television networks, current television networks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when it comes to conferences here in New York and elsewhere around the country, have time for audience Q&A and press Q&A. We've seen too many conferences this fall, whether it's been NYC Television Week, Hispanic TV Summit, especially the Advertising Week New York, where far too many sessions, most or all, do not have audience Q&A. They spend their time and money to be at these conferences. They deserve the opportunity to ask questions of the guests, whether they're keynote speakers or panelists. Let's have that finally happen. For those of you that missed our show on Friday, I'm going to say it again. It's time for sci-fi to go elsewhere from NBC Universal ownership. This network, which used to be a marvelous network with all the interesting scripted and unscripted shows, is now a shell of its former self, and it doesn't look like NBC Universal is going to give it much love in the future. So let somebody else own that service and let them put in the bucks in to make it really, really special. And while we're at it, how about we bring back the McNeil Air Report or something like it? These days, we are seeing far too much what I call jumping conclusions journalism, where something is fact simply because, well, this person did like it, this person didn't like it, this political, et cetera, the president, whatever, likes it or not. Let's really, really have something like McNeil-Lehr Report, which examines all sides of an issue. There are too many issues impacting this country and this world that need that kind of report. It's time for somebody, public television, commercial television, Netflix, whoever, to bring that back. Something else I'd like to see in 2024, the return of the New York Television Festival, or a major TV festival that gives independent producers the opportunity to have their work seen, their pilot seen, and maybe perhaps get a deal with all sorts of TV players, big and small. It's been 5 years since we've had the New York Television Festival, and basically we don't have anything like it now, and we need to bring it back. We did have Cerebral this year. Unfortunately, Cerebral did not allow press to come in. It didn't get a lot of attention. Tribeca didn't do much in television compared to recent years. It's time to have a big New York TV festival here sometime next year, and to have the Mayor's Office of Media Entertainment, that's Mayor Eric Adams, Mayor of New York City, involved. It's time to finally have a pipeline for U.S.-produced Spanish-language scripted television series, weekly or nightly or daily, that have shows produced in the United States with U.S. Latino writers, producers, and directors. Something I'd like to see, fewer commercial breaks in programs and fewer commercials in the break. It's time to stop that. Really, really, really. It's why people are going to smart TV programming. Fewer commercial breaks, fewer commercials in the break. They don't last as long, 60, 90 seconds tops. It's time for the 4, the 5, the 6-minute break, especially in sports programming, to end. One of my favorite game shows, I wish it would come back, Jackpot. It's time. One of Bob Stewart's most underrated game shows. It's really, really great. I just saw earlier today the pilot that was made in the 1980s with Nipsey Russell, the host. I wish I had gone to the series. Nipsey was one of my favorite people. I think he would have been a very good game show host with that program. All right. More commercials. More messages like A Holiday Remember and the AT&T Gallida commercial. They were wonderful. They were terrific. They were moving. They were illuminating. More commercials like that. And less commercials like the 1-877 Cars for Kids commercial. It's time for that campaign to be pulled off the air. Why? Because you don't know. You don't know. What is the charity all about? And you also know, why do you have to send a car or donate a car to this charity? It's never explained. It is the worst public service commercial message campaign of its kind, and it doesn't work, and it's time to pull it off, both television and radio. Something I'd like to see, a second chance for a series that I really enjoyed that we focused on this program a year and a half ago, The Gordita Chronicles. Appeared on Max, got great reviews, and was pulled off because of all sorts of factors that were not about the quality of the program or the viewership was getting. It's time for that show to make a comeback. Sony, put that show back on the air. Bring it back. Another show that I would like to see back, which has not been revived in a long time, One Step Beyond, the anthology series about psychic phenomena and all things paranormal. It was a wonderful series back in the early 60s by John Newland. Newland tried to revive it on videotape and on film. It didn't work because of the way it was handled. It's time for One Step Beyond to come back. It is a great show, and with the right people involved with it, it can get its glory again. And obviously, there's a wider range of psychic phenomena, true cases to deal with. And how about bringing back such shows as The Time Tunnel, the Irwin Allen classic that only ran a year, or You Are There, which had reporters back in time to events from all around the world. You can see the Walter Cronkite episodes, some of them, on YouTube now. And when you see them, you'll realize why I think that show should make a comeback. Also, it's time for something I'd like to see, a historical weekly anthology series. We haven't had one like it since The Great Adventure back on CBS in 1963-64. It's way overdue. I think it would be a marvelous, marvelous thing to do and very educational. Let's bring back something like The Great Adventure, a historical weekly anthology series, very well done. And somebody like Netflix or Prime Video or Apple TV Plus, they can do it. And finally, how about much, much more television that inspires and aspires? More television series, made-for-TV movies, specials, etc., dramatic specials, maybe even live television that bring us shows that give us values that we can inspire and be aspired by. It's time. And we have the talent pool to make it happen. And there you go. Something I'd like to see. And I'd like to hear from you. Do you agree with what I said or disagree? I'd like to hear from you. So in the next minute or so, put your thoughts in the chat room or give us a call very quickly. That's Simon Apple 04. There's a chat room. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or give me a call, 646-652-296. Or if you're checking this out on podcast, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Or you can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, or X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. We really do appreciate it. Want to let you know that we have two more episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way this week. Don't forget, tomorrow we will have the executive producer and showrunner of the hit second season of Peacock's Dr. Death, Ashley Michael Hoban. Plus, we'll have our annual Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers episode, where we focus on the men and women on and off camera who passed away in the past year. And if you have an idea, by the way, for Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers, email me today, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or find me on Facebook or LinkedIn, or go to our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, put it in the chat room at the bottom of the screen, and if we use your suggestion of somebody to be part of that segment tomorrow, we will make sure you get the credit. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com, LinkedIn, Facebook, X or Twitter, and our home, and our wonderful website from On Podium. Okay? And by the way, we will have three episodes to kick off 2024 next Tuesday, next Wednesday, next Friday. And by the way, Shelley Palmer, who was scheduled to be on our show last week, he will be with us among our guests next Friday, January 5th. Again, I want to also acknowledge our two new podcast sites, Podcal and Lulio, L-I-U-L-O. Check them out. They're wonderful, and I really appreciate they are with us. Remember, if you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, including our episodes all year long, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and go to many of our podcast sites, as well as our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. You'll find them there, and we'd love to hear your reaction to them. So do email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you find us and talk to us, we talk back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is B-Charge General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. And by Wild, reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you very much for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day after Christmas 2023. We are back tomorrow, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, with Ashley Michael Band from Dr. Death on Peacock. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing to now and then, of course, make it safe. And most of all, make it great for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.